Hello and welcome to Those Who Care. This podcast talks about African history, development, and policy. In this podcast, we dive into the conversations that truly matter. Where did we come from? Where are we now? And how do we get to where we need to go? Join me, your host, Inyoade Ojutalayo, as I embark on these conversations featuring Those Who Care. Welcome to the very first episode of To Those Who Care. In this episode, we are going to take a look into the secondhand clothing industry in Africa. What is it? How did it come about? And what are some of the impacts it has on our environment, as well as our local textile and clothing industry? Africans have a profound connection with fashion, one that goes far beyond mere clothing. It's a unique way we identify ourselves. It reveals not just your nationality, but your age, your tribal heritage, your marital status, and even your spiritual beliefs. In West Africa, for example, we have the Yoruba tribe, whose customary clothing attire is the Iro and the Buba, while the famous Kente fabric was originated by the Ashanti tribe in Ghana. And in Kenya and Tanzania, we have the Maasai people, who are known for their distinctive red and checkered blue shuka material. And even depending on the color pattern variation, this can also tell you the wearer's age or social status. In most sub-Saharan countries, though, there are three major ways of getting clothes. One is through your bespoke channel. That is when these clothes are specially made for you. So you visit a tailor and they take your measurements. You then show them a design and they promise that they can duplicate it. Fingers crossed it works out for you. But then the second way is through ready-to-wear. These are pre-manufactured clothes that are made to fit standard sizes. In many African countries, locally made ready-to-wear clothes are not that common though. Most fashion designers opt for making small amounts of clothes at a time. This is because of how expensive manufacturing is in Africa. The process of making mass amounts of clothes are just way too expensive. This is especially so in countries where there's a weak power infrastructure. The electricity bill alone will drive you out of business. This wasn't always the case, though. So in the 1950s, we had the big textile factory giants that existed in northern Nigeria, for example. We had in Kaduna alone, there were over 10 flourishing textile industries, and they were operating at optimum capacity. Data shows that at that time, in the 1950s to 80s, these textile industries provided around 500,000 direct jobs to the people in that region. And they were said to have been the second employers of labor after the government within that region. We have the exact same case in Kenya, where we saw the collapse of major textile companies such as Rivertex, a company that was once set to become a major player within the industry, but it eventually collapsed in the 1980s. During that time, Africa witnessed the fall of a lot of its major industries. This is due to structural adjustment programs, political instability, and a weak power infrastructure. These industries stood no chance. Now, this leads us to our third way of getting clothes in Africa, and that is through thrifting. Thrifting is a major way in which Africans shop and Africans get their clothes. Let's talk about thrifting in Africa. Thanks to Hollywood, when most people think of thrifting, they usually imagine this romantic shopping experience where the buyer walks into some hole-in-the-wall store and stumbles on a one-of-a-kind designer blazer that they just immediately fall in love with, and somehow it ended up there for cheap 99. It almost feels like the stars have aligned and the buyer and the item were meant to meet for such a time as this. And better still, with the climate crisis looming over everyone's heads, who doesn't want to buy vintage? I mean, it's a modern day version of planting a tree. And there's almost a sense of virtue when it comes to thrifting. You almost feel like you've done something good. So now that's thrifting in the Western world. Let's talk about thrifting in Africa. Now, in Africa, it's a completely different experience. Imagine this. You're struggling down a narrow road filled with what feels like a million people. There are buyers and sellers haggling over prices. A child is crying somewhere in the far distance. Hawkers are beckoning you to their stores, convincing you that their products are the best. Now, that is the thrifting experience in Africa. To help paint a better picture, I've asked two of my friends who are seasoned thrifters. First up, we have Akinye Agutu, who is a stickler for good quality clothes. She'll be telling us about the thrifting experience in Kenya. Then we'll have Ade Alabi, who will tell us about her experiences in Ghana.
Thrifted clothes in Kenya are called mitumba. And my favorite place to get mitumba is Toy Market. It's so vast. And the fact that it has expanded out of clothing to include household items, which are in pretty good condition, definitely makes it my favorite. I've been going thrifting for a long time. My earliest memory is as a child being very exhausted, walking around the market with my mom and my sister, and it's now a really cherished activity. It used to be stressful and tiring, but now it's a nostalgic activity, but also exciting to see what new pieces I'm going to find. I haggle. I learned this from the best, and I never accept the first price. Mostly Western style clothing, because for special occasions, I would go to a tailor and get my use my own fabric or get fabric for them, where they would create my bespoke pieces. I also shop in the mall, especially because these days the prices at the thrift stores and markets are similarly priced. So that makes it a bit of a challenge.
Secondhand clothing in Ghana is more commonly referred to as fust. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but some people also call it obroniwe, that means dead white man's clothing. Now, the hub for all of these things coming into the country is through a market called Kantamanto. So that's the hub where everything will arrive at, and then distribution will be done to other parts of the country or other markets. Now, I first got introduced to thrifting around 2013 when I went to university. And basically, we would have these young ladies who would come in with a bag and with thrifted items. And with all of these trendy stuff, some of them were very good quality. As a matter of fact, many of them still had tags on them. They call them, I think, store rejects. So they are very like high quality stuff. And they were very, very affordable as a university student. So you find that all of these things that you were seeing online and probably you would have had to get someone to buy and ship to you, you were getting them, you know, right at your doorstep. And so that's how I got into thrifting. Of course, at some point, my roommate and I decided to go to the main market, which was Kantamanto, but I found it to be so overwhelming. Also, if you do not know the corners to go to, you realize that you come out with not so good deals. And also, you can just come back with a lot of stuff that you do not necessarily need, because maybe just because they were in your face. So yeah, I would say that the prices are still competitive. Of course, the prices have gone up considering the increasing price of Forex, the increasing price of transportation and prices in general, but it's still relatively affordable as compared to shopping in a boutique or having something shipped to you from overseas. Now, I think that a major change that I've noticed in recent time has been the acceptance of thrifting. So now people are more receptive to thrifting. Maybe in the past, people would do it, but they couldn't say it openly. But now there are a lot of Instagram stores, a lot of people making money from this and people being very vocal about it.
So, as we've heard, secondhand clothing is the cheapest way to get ready-to-wear stylish clothes in Africa. So these hubs, both online and on the streets, have become popular shopping destinations for Africa's young and stylish population. But let's dive a little deeper. Where are these clothes coming from, and why are they here? The major exporter of secondhand clothing are the US, the UK, and most recently China. The act of sending secondhand clothing down, however, started off as charity. So during the colonial era, charitable organizations will send over clothes that have been donated to them. But the recipients, rather than wearing these clothes and stressing their stuff, they started thinking big and saw this as a money-making opportunity. I mean, why not? Over the years, this slowly evolved into the booming industry that millions patronize, and it's become the source of income to so many. And because of overconsumption, mass production, and the notorious monster, fast fashion, there has been a dramatic increase in the amount of clothes that were shipped down from the West to the Global South. So you see countries like Ghana, where every week there is an overwhelming influx of 15 million used garments coming in from the UK, Europe, North America, and Australia. And then you now have Kenya, where in 2021 alone, they had 900 million items of used clothing that were shipped down. And these clothes are coming from fast fashion brands and countries where their disposal systems cannot keep up with the rate at which fast fashion is moving. So what is fast fashion? To cut to the chase, fast fashion is cheap, trendy clothes that borrows ideas from the catwalk or celebrity culture and then turns them into cheaper versions to meet consumer demands. So the idea is to get the newest styles on the market as fast as possible. So this allows the average person to snap up very expensive designs at the height of their popularity and then sadly get rid of them just after a few wears. Fast fashion plays into the idea that outfit repeating is a fashion faux pas. And if you want to stay relevant, you have to wear the latest looks as soon as they happen. So it feeds into this toxic system of overproduction and overconsumption that has made fashion one of the world's largest polluters. I think it's quite obvious at this point why fast fashion is bad, but to get into the nitty-gritty, fast fashion clothes use very cheap and toxic textile dyes. So, for example, there's polyester, which is the most popular fast fashion fabric that's used. So, polyester is made up of fossil fuels, which massively contributes to global warming. This material sheds microfibers, which adds to the increasing level of plastic in our oceans when we wear them and even when we wash them. So, Western countries have been struggling to grapple with the overconsumption of fast fashion items and the growing mound of textile waste in their landfills. According to the World Wear Project, textiles right now make up to 5% of the world's landfills. I mean, these are just clothes, and 5% is actually quite a large percentage. So how does this affect Africa? More than 92 million tons of textiles are discarded every year, and most of them are dumped in the Global South. So according to the recent Greenpeace report, 40% of these items are unwearable or unsellable. So really, these are just fabric scraps that are sent down under the guise of secondhand clothing. This is known as waste colonialism. And a perfect example of this is when you look at the Coralie Leone Lagoon in Ghana. I mean, okay, just Google it for a second. Would you actually believe that most of that mound is made up of secondhand textile waste? And this waste is not degradable. So with African cities already grappling with poor infrastructure around our own waste disposal, we simply don't have the means to deal with waste coming in from the West. On a more positive note though, we have actors who are trying to make a difference through textile collection and operating zero waste businesses. To tell us more about this, I've invited a very special guest. Her name is Oluwadunsi Bolaji, who is a cultural sustainability expert. Dunsi describes herself as an Afrocentric accessory designer and the proud owner of Dunsi Craft Collections. Her specialty lies in transforming textile waste and turning them into trendy Afrocentric accessories. This showcases her commitment to sustainability and her commitment to style and fashion. So, Dunsi, why was it important to you to not just be a fashion designer, but one that also takes into consideration sustainability and zero waste? Where did that passion come from?
The passion came from knowing about the Sustainable Development Goals. The information about the SDGs is very crucial, especially about the responsible production and consumption. And that actually sparked a new world of knowledge and inquiries. So I didn't start as a sustainable accessory designer. You know, there were mistakes made, but then exposing myself to the world of knowledge about how fashion waste is impacting our environment. I mean, we see these things every day, but because we don't talk about it or because there is no awareness in quotes, yes, we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. So what inspired me to become sustainable is because I had access to the knowledge that I needed to be sustainable. I had access to the knowledge and the awareness of what fashion waste is doing to the world, to our environment, and the negative impact it is causing. And I don't want to be a part of the negative impact. I want to be the voice for positive change.
Yes. Josie, thank you very much for that explanation. Let's talk a bit more about the impacts that these fast fashion clothes are having on our environment. Could you talk us more into, you know, what are these materials made of and how are they affecting our local environments in Africa?
I believe that textiles has plastic microfibers in them that do not decay, you know, and they can also be likened, they can also be found in the plastic bottles and nylon sachets, you know, in almost everything. So those are what actually makes those fabrics impossible to decay. And when you have these things that last for thousands of years and they keep piling up, then you know there is a problem. Even as of now, there is now movement. There are recycling solutions for plastic bottles or nylons, but there is nothing like that for fashion, you know? Yeah. You see people picking plastic bottles off the road, you take to a company, they're going to shred it, they're going to, you know, recycle it into something else. I mean, there are solutions coming up everywhere for those. But what about our fabrics that have these plastics in them? And then the landfills, you know, when rain falls and they're exposed to water, or maybe they are very close to the ocean, the fishes in these water bodies are going to consume them, right? And then before we know it, we are buying these fishes too from the market and we are consuming them. And then we'll start wondering what is going on with our health, and can't just pin it down and say, oh, this is the particular reason. So I feel like that says a lot about the impact of this micro plastic microfibers in our clothes.
Wow, and that's why the work that you do is very important. The work of creating quality accessories that can last a very long time. So Josie, tell us, from your line of work, what are some unique experiences that you have with textile waste and textile waste collection? I know that you currently have a survey open for fashion designers such as yourself. Could you talk us a bit more about that?
Okay, so, you know, before we can come up with the solution, we have to know there is a problem existing. So currently I'm carrying out a Nigerian sustainable fashion survey, spreading across fashion designers in Nigeria and Africa.
asking them, how do you dispose your waste? We want to know, right? What are the actions you're taking? And then we give them options to choose from. Do you burn your fabric waste? Do you send them to the waste management that dumps them on the landfill? How do you dispose them, right? And then according to the results, the answers and the response we've gotten so far, 4 out of 5 prefer to use waste management, you know, and then which end up in the landfill. And 3 out of these 5 fashion designers say that if waste management don't even show up, they prefer to burn it. I mean, it leaves their backyard, right? They just find a little spot there to burn. And imagine thousands of fashion designers burning their fabric waste. I mean, it's a whole different level of exposure of CO2 to the environment, the overheating of our environment. And, you know, it just speaks a lot about how and why we need to start talking about sustainable fashion production and consumption.
So from your findings, would you say that African fashion designers are sustainable in their practices?
Well, I'm going to say that the production process can still, you know, do a lot of work, but I won't classify African fashion designers as what word am I going to use? As they are being sustainable completely. It's still a work in process, yes. Right? Nigerian fashion designers are not so big into fast fashion, but the way they discard their fabric scraps from production needs a lot of work. We need to come up with solutions on how to get rid of the fabric scraps sustainably. You know, imagine a fashion designer making about 10 clothes per day. You know, the cutting process, and then there are these scraps of fabrics that don't fit into the dress and they just throw them away, right? So we need to teach them, we need to educate them on how to sustainably get rid of those scraps without burning them and without causing harm to our environment. You know, we have these solutions for plastic bottles. Like I say, you know, you collect them, they leave the environment, they recycle them, they recycle them, become something better, right? How do fashion designers in Nigeria get to, you know, sustainably get rid of their fabric waste and their scraps?
Thank you again to Oluwadunsi for sharing her insights and for the amazing work she does with Dunsi Craft Collections. You can check out her website at dunsicrafts.com to show your support and to learn more about her survey, which has already gained over 100 responses. Check that out at fashionsurvey.dunsicrafts.com. I'll leave the links in the description bar below. Now back to the episode. So how do we strike a balance between our love for fashion and also our love for our environment? I mean, I hope everyone loves our environment. I mean, how far are we willing to go for the sake of fashion? There is absolutely no doubt at this point that imported secondhand clothes to Africa is doing way more harm than good. So why don't we just ban these things? Like, why don't we just ban these imports? If you look at South Africa, for example, they've introduced something called, bear with me now, it's called the Amended Textiles and Clothing Industry Development Program Regulations. That was a mouthful. Anyways, these regulations were introduced to basically ban commercial resale of secondhand clothes. So if you're exporting secondhand clothes to South Africa, it has to be only for charitable purposes. If not, it's absolutely not allowed. So why can't we introduce something like this across Africa? Well, in Ghana, in 2011, they tried this out and there was a huge backlash from local traders who rely on this practice for their livelihood. The thing is, there are so many people in Africa that rely on the secondhand industry for jobs. In Kenya, for example, 10% of the extended labor force is engaged in the secondhand clothing and footwear industry. This sector provides employment to an estimated, check this,
2 million people within the country. So this is how significant the secondhand industry is to the economy. But why should African traders have to rely on imported goods for their livelihoods? I mean, what happened to the textile industries that we spoke about earlier in the episode? How can we bring them back and promote employment in that sector? Because this inevitably feeds into economic growth. But let me not get too ahead of myself. We explore more about the fashion industry and its impact on our economic growth in another episode. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this episode and picked up a thing or two. So next time you're thinking of buying mitumba or krika or whatever you call it, just remember that it may be cheap, but there's a way bigger price tag attached. Bye for now and see you on the next one.